a big reason why I advocate for everything I care about and not just kind of pigeonholing myself to one thing is like, I've always thought about it like this. Like, I'm an entire person. Me being gay is tied to me being black. Me being black is tied to me being a woman. All of these things
It's
are
so
tied
intersectional.
to exactly my existence in any space that I come into. So I'm like, I can't ever really leave a part of myself out, one. And two, I also just like at some point found it empowering to talk about things I was scared to talk about, you know?
When I see people working towards the good of a greater planet, a greater ecosystem, and a greater structure of equality for us all to exist in, I feel so, so deeply inspired. And how can we all tap into this energy while also taking care of our own minds and hearts and mental health in the midst of how hopeless the future can sometimes feel? How can we begin to take action through that? Today's guest is somebody I've been wanting to have on for like over a year, probably, maybe even 2 years. I followed her on TikTok so long ago, and I've wanted to have her on the podcast for so long, but she was just off gallivanting in like Europe or something, was it? You were
Everywhere.
everywhere, everywhere. And I wanted to have her on because she inspires me so, so, so deeply. An advocate for women in STEM, making moves inspired by sustainable fashion and creating a better world where tech is inclusive and used for good. I cannot wait to dive into her brilliant mind today. Skinny dipping fam, meet the incredible Alexis Williams.
Hi.
Come to the mic, beautiful. I cannot believe it's happening. Like, finally, fucking finally.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
I know. I just feel like you have so much to bring to the table that no other guest has, especially just because of your career. I've never had like a hot girl in STEM before. I'm like blushing. I'm like, also, you look so
Oh,
beautiful.
thank you.
How are you feeling today?
I've been waiting to be on the podcast for so long, so I can't wait. I'm excited.
So you just finished school recently, right?
Yes.
That transition from college into the real world, how has that been like for your mental health? Because we talk a lot about mental health on this podcast, and that's just where I want to begin is like, how's that transition? Because that's a big transition.
At the beginning, it was kind of great. You know, in college, I feel like a lot of people can relate to this. You just experience so much burnout because you constantly have to be doing something, whether that's like assignments or like keeping up with a social life and like extracurriculars, all of that. Like, there's no break. You're like constantly on. So at first, it was like kind of amazing that nothing was happening. And this was kind of like during my break in the summer, I was off in Europe doing God knows what, just
Gallivanting. We love that for you.
exploring. And it was great. I was like, oh my God, the world is so beautiful. And I am indulging in absolutely everything. And I can rest when I want to. And I can do whatever I want to do when I want to. And that kind of break that I haven't experienced before in my life, because I've literally been in some kind of
School,
schooling
yeah.
my whole life, and even in college, in order to get a major in engineering, but also a minor in something else, because I wanted a minor as well. I had to be in school all of the seasons. So,
Wow, even summer.
yeah. So fall,
Wow.
winter break, spring, summer.
Nonstop. Of course, you're going to be burnt out.
So burnt
And
out.
I so deeply understand that because I'll actually look back because now it's been like 4 years since I've been in university. And I also was a very high achiever in school. And I look back now, like farther removed, you know, like you're first getting like the taste of everything now and finding like perspective in your experience. But looking back to like 4 years ago, I'm like, I could never go back to school again, first of all. And second of all, I just like can't believe like how intense everything was. Like, I don't think I've ever been so stressed out in my life from the time that I like started high school to like
No,
dropped out of
literally.
college.
And I like literally can't even understand how I used to function. Now I'm like, I need 8 hours of sleep minimum. I need my rest and relaxation time. I'm like, there are certain days of the week where I just can't go out. I can't plan anything, or I'll be like socially burnt out. I'm like, how I was able to like get up at the wee hours to go all the way to school to like hang out with my friends and go clubbing and stuff like that or whatever, and be getting like a literal engineering major, like the kinds of tests I was taking and stuff I was doing, I'm like, how my brain was capable of doing that, no idea.
After, are you experiencing like deep burnout? Because I know after years and years and years of like being on the go and hustling, like my body had to deeply adjust almost. I was just fucking tired, honestly, after going so hard.
It's just like different waves of just exhaustion. Sometimes that's like creative exhaustion. Sometimes that's like physical exhaustion. But I'm like, whoa, I feel like I've used like so much of my brain capacity at such a young age that I'm like, I don't know how to function sometimes.
Like, you just want to chill. Tired. I just started to be like, I just want to chill.
Yeah. And then you feel guilty for feeling like you just want to chill. And like, especially going to like the school that I went to and the path that I chose to study in particular, like there is so much like that feeling of competition. And it's sometimes hard to just feel like I can let myself go and not compare myself to other people when that's what I've been surrounded by at all times. Like, people are always constantly flashing the cool things that they're doing and stuff like that. And I'm like, but are they happy? Are they well rested? Are their minds in a good place? Are they feeling fulfilled? Like, those are the things that I just have to like remind myself of anytime I want to like compare myself. But like, it doesn't mean that it doesn't get hard not to. So I went to NYU.
Okay.
Went to the engineering school.
Enough said.
I studied something called integrated design and media, which I describe to people as engineering core with art fundamentals.
Okay.
So it's like we have to take all of the same engineering core classes, but we get to put a little art twist on it. So my concentration was specifically in web development. So coding websites is my thing. Okay. And then sound engineering, actually.
Did you feel like in those fields of study in your classes, like you had maybe a little bit extra to prove, or like not that you had extra to prove, but you felt that way because it's such like a male dominated field?
Well, absolutely. I think my whole identity sort of comes into question when I was walking into these kinds of rooms, especially just in the engineering core classes in general. Like, if I walked in like this, immediately a professor's gonna be like, oh, she's stupid, like, just because I'm a girly girl
and looking hot as fuck.
Like, yeah, like, this is a problem within the engineering field, I think. Definitely, like, the equation of caring about your appearance to not being smart for some reason, because you're spending extra time on what you look like instead of maybe what you can produce, which is a fundamental problem of capitalism, but that's separate.
No, I mean, it's not separate. It's here, it's now, it's part of this conversation, because that is so true, that it's like, oh, well, you're putting all this effort into looking beautiful and loving yourself, and especially you love fashion, sustainable fashion specifically, and you're interested in that, and they're like, oh, well, that's taking away from
like
you,
your
like
productivity.
Coding and all, yeah,
exactly.
And it's just like, why do we base our sense of self-worth off of productivity? Like, yeah. Capitalism.
And I'm kind of like, doesn't it make me more awesome and slay that I can be smart and productive and care about the way that I look and do all
and care about the
well?
Planet,
like, exactly, like I'm like, doesn't that make me even more impressive? Instead of
it, it's does
like, it's instead of people seeing it as an additive, they see it as a subtractor. Like, oh, she does X, Y, and Z that we think is silly, so she must not be as smart or successful or X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and you're people. Like, no, it is an additive. You are juggling all these different parts and you are doing it well.
Yeah.
And that is a win. And something that they will never understand.
Yeah.
It's almost like...
No, exactly.
I feel bad for you guys. You'll never understand the power of what it means to be able to do everything.
Right, and it's so, like, upsetting to walk into the rooms feeling exactly that, feeling like, because of all of my identity markers and the way that I present myself, I am extra powerful of a person. But having people, no matter how much you prove yourself, believe that you are less than because of those things. And that's why, like, at the beginning of my studies, I took it really hard, like, people looking at me and automatically assuming that I was stupid. And I, like, pushed myself. And I'm glad that I pushed myself. Like, I made great grades. Like, I showed everyone that I was smart, like, as smart as I thought I was and smarter than they thought I was. But I sacrificed a lot of things to do that. Like, my mental health, there was a period of time where, you know, I was really struggling with being sexualized in different rooms. So it, like, took a little swing at my confidence and, like, the way that I felt like I could present myself and stuff like that. And it made me feel not good about myself. And I just didn't think that it was fair after a while.
And it's not.
And it's not fair. Mm. Totally. And
so what would be the advice that you would like give to your younger self?
Yeah, a huge thing that I had to learn is doesn't matter often what you look like. Mm. People just based off of like my race or my gender or my sexuality, they're just going to think certain things. And I can't do anything about that. Mm. You know what I mean? And I think the sooner that I realized that it wasn't anything that I was in control of, like it's totally their thoughts and their ideologies on these big conversations that we're constantly having in society about misogyny and all of these different things. I can't do anything about that. So I could decide to be less of myself to make them more comfortable when in reality, that's not going to change anything about what they think about me. Or I could be fully confident in myself and make myself feel good.
And be more you.
Exactly.
And just live authentically to what it means to be Alexis. And
right.
just shine in that own way. And I feel like when you put that spotlight back on you, it's just like putting the blinders on and being like, people can think what they think. I'm going to keep being me. Isn't Alexis literally just so amazing? Okay, this isn't an ad, but this is very important. It's about the Soul in Progress community, which if you don't know about it, it's basically a place for us skinny dippers to come together and create soul media. We talk about our healing, our mental health. We have workshops. There's exclusive resources for breath work, meditation. I just posted a really great 8-minute meditation for connecting to your highest self. It's so good. And there's just so much. And I wanted to give you guys a special offer for, I guess, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I don't know, but basically it's really for you guys. I just want you guys to have another opportunity to get in at a lower price forever. This isn't just a one-time thing. Once you get in at this price, it is yours. So it's 30% off. The code is going to be Cyber Week. It's going to be linked below. The code will also be below. Sign up for the Soul in Progress community now. And also, if you don't want to do that, but you want to still, like, you know, show some love, show some extra love into me, to the podcast, click subscribe on whatever you are listening on. It really means the absolute world to me, honestly, because it allows other people to see skinny dipping. And yeah, so hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on and join the Soul in Progress community below. I love you guys. Let's get back to the episode. Thank you for being patient.
Yeah, and I think it's something that I hope that like young girls really start to learn, is that they can't associate their personal actions with the entire ideology of things like misogyny. Mm-hmm. Like what you do personally has nothing to do with what guys think of you because of a structural concept. Mm. You have to like take that agency to be you outside of those things. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And that is like just deep snaps right there, because that is also what I want, especially for the younger generation that is rising, for them to truly do things for them and not because they think people are going to treat them a certain way or perceive them a certain way. Because when we focus on the perception of others and how they feel about us and what they think about us, especially when it doesn't have anything to do with us, because it's deep fucked up structures and then systematic fuck ups that have been passed down throughout fucking generations. It's just like people lose themselves. You know, you just lose yourself trying to please everybody. So I think it is so important what you were saying, to just continue to focus on what makes you feel most you despite everything else. But also I feel like that's easier said than done. So I'm like, what is like the actionable advice for that? Like, especially when so many of these beliefs are systemic, and also because we're raised in ways to act accordingly to the systems. Like, what is the actionable approach to that? Because it's like, oh, we're talking about it in theory, but it's like so much easier like said than done. So like, what's like an actionable thing that somebody can do to begin to embody this new idea?
Yeah, that's something that like was a weight on me a lot for a long time, because it is easier said than done, and it's like this huge thing that you can't tackle in its entirety, and it's maybe going to exist for your entire lifetime. But I really had to push myself to think about it as like, what are actionable things that I can do every day to start feeling better about myself and coming into my own identity and who I am and feeling comfortable with all of these things that maybe make other people uncomfortable about myself. And for me, that just started with like introspection and just also the realization that it's one day at a time. You can't change things massively thinking of it like, oh, what do I want in a year or 10 years or like by the end of my life?
That's so overwhelming.
So overwhelming. But I'm like, hey, what are things that I can do today? Mm-hmm. Something that I started doing a lot especially when I was working my way out of that rut that I was in, was like journaling every day. If I put a timer on for like 30 minutes, what are all of the things that I can come up with that I'm grateful for about myself? Mm-hmm. What are things that I really like about myself that I maybe have been shying away from that I want to lean more into? And why are the reasons why I like them? And why do I let myself, based off of social constructs, think that they're bad? Mm-hmm. But I actually truly believe that they're good. And I found that like writing stuff down in the morning, right when I'm going to start my day, allows me to lean into that throughout the rest of my day. And then it's just about leaning into it for just the day.
Yeah.
You know, not thinking about I'm going to change my life, but just one day. And then one day becomes a couple of days becomes a week, a month.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm in this vibe of like actually feeling much better about myself, because I'm just like looking at it as, what can I just do today? And then accumulate from there.
I love that, because I feel like so many people write gratitudes and everyone's like, start your day with gratitudes, but people don't write enough gratitudes about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you actually like about yourself? I think when they think about gratitudes, they try to think about the external, and it's like, no, if you can like focus first thing in the morning, one day at a time, thinking about the things that you genuinely like about yourself. And the other thing that I really like that you said was, wow, like, how can I look at these things that I like about myself and how can I question them? Not question them like why I like them, but question like, why are these important to me? And why would I allow like the opinions of others or the opinions of society to defer me from making these claims that I love these things about myself? You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that you're also not only saying what they are and writing them down, but also analyzing them, because I think when we can create proof and evidence for our brain to really like lean into the things that we love about ourselves, it's going to say, okay, I'm understanding it. Because I think people are like, oh, well, if I just like tell myself that I love myself every single day, then eventually it'll happen. And like, yes, maybe it will. But the faster way to get there and the more efficient way to get there is to create proof and to create evidence for your brain to be like, okay, but why are these things that I like about myself?
Mm-hmm.
And when they're challenged, because they're going to be challenged by outside ideologies, when they're challenged, how can I come back to, well, the reasons why? And like, that meets that and it challenges the challenger. And it says, okay, well, I've already proved it to myself. I've already developed the evidence.
Yeah.
So I like that you also analyze
absolutely,
it. I think that's
like,
so powerful.
Yeah, you're creating a bank in your mind about how you feel about yourself. So that way, when other people come and challenge it and it feels like this attack, it's like, wait, I've already thought about this.
Yes.
I've already come up with a million reasons why I love this about myself. So there's nothing you can say to me that's going to make me change that, which I think is so powerful.
And so actionable. This is why I love asking about the actionable advice, because we bring things up and we're like, oh, we can talk about them in concept. And also when you've experienced them yourself, it's easy to bring up the concept, but it's like, oh, no, you've actually learned this concept and developed this self-concept through actions.
Absolutely.
Through taking the steps.
Yeah.
So tell us a little story that I saw on your TikTok. You've really come up on my For You page a lot and also on my like friends and following. And I think it's because I just love your videos and I always like watch them all the way through, genuinely. Like, even if I don't comment, like, I'm always supporting you. Like, I don't even know you, but it makes me emotional. Like, no, it does a little bit, because
stop.
I feel like I followed you for so long and I'm always like, I so deeply resonate with everything that you say, and also the way that you say it. Like, the way that you
Thank
say
you.
It, you just stand up for what you believe and you just do it in a way that is like so legit, no bullshit, but also so graceful
at the
same time. And it's just like, it's so good. I'm obsessed. So I was watching this video and you were talking about how you turned down a big tech job potentially for something that aligned more with your values and the world that you want to create. Can you tell us about that post-grad job situation and how you made those decisions?
What's the tea? In the engineering world, there's this acronym that people use all the time, especially around job recruiting, early career type things, because it's like the holy grail big tech companies to work at.
Okay.
And I personally think that this needs to be changed because things have shifted so much. But the top ones, it's called FANG. So
FANG.
It's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix. Like, why is Netflix on there?
Why is Netflix on
Google? That used to be like the top ones. I would say that it has to be different now, but that's the acronym everyone uses, so it's flashy and whatever.
Like, these are the coolest places to work,
right?
And they're just doing it all.
Exactly.
And like, okay, but
like,
it's
I'm sure
not
you've
true.
Seen like on TikTok, like, come with me on a day to work at Google. Look at my
yes.
snacks
uh-huh.
and my bike and my
yes.
equity in the shares of the company. So
yes, quote unquote dream.
Exactly.
But we're saying saying it in quotation marks, just so you guys know.
Yes. Throughout my entire college career, you know, I've been very vocal about the different things that I've wanted to build and have built throughout getting my degree. Like, I'm one of those people that's like, if you have an idea, just make it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if one person uses it or a million people use it. It's like, if you can help one person with one tool, that's awesome. So I've dove head into it during my college years. And I made a website that I talk about all the time. It's like my little baby. I've been building and working from that for the past 3 years.
I think that's like when I started following you. Did it go crazy viral?
Yeah, that's kind of like what put everything in motion for me. It's a website called PB Resources.
Yes.
And it started as a police brutality toolkit during the height of the Black Lives Matter movement, sort of during 2020, during quarantine and everything.
Yes. Oh my gosh. At the time that I followed you, PB Resources. Yes. Okay. Okay.
So ever since then, I've basically been building out resources. It's basically different automated tools for people to get in touch with the social justice movement. And it especially is a place where people can start doing things around the social activism world who have never even thought about advocacy. So getting in contact with your politicians, learning how to register to vote, all those types of things.
I love that. Making it so accessible, literally being like, you don't even have to think. I did it for you.
Exactly.
Which is what people deeply need because, I mean, everyone just gets caught up in their own world, own lives. So to be like, you don't even have to think. I did it. I put it all here.
Okay, so that's exactly the thought when I first made it. I'm like, no one has an excuse not to stand up and do things and fight for what they believe in because I made it so easy.
I made it so easy.
That was literally exactly my line when I first started making those TikToks that blew up. I'm like, no one has an excuse because I made it so easy and I did all of the emotional and physical labor. So no one has an excuse. I was being so insane about it.
As you should also, though, because it is like such a call out for people. It's just
absolutely.
Well, if it's so easy and you say that you care about these things, then like do something about
it.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to take care of your mental health even extra, even more during this time of the year because old karmic relationships are coming up with your family or old triggers from your childhood are coming up around the holiday season. There's stress around, you know, even like there's lots of like food trauma related to the holiday season or there's just this feeling of like unworthiness, like things that are not our truth that are coming back up again from the past. It's coming back up again from the past because it wants to be healed. And during this journey, it is so important that you have a professional along the way to help you move through these tough emotions because this time of year can just be a lot. So therapy has absolutely changed my life. I don't think I would be where I am with the podcast, with my life, with my relationships, if not for therapy. It completely turned my life around in the best way possible. And I think everyone should be in therapy. And I know that it's not easily accessible or affordable for everyone. So that's why I love BetterHelp. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you gotta do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at literally any time with no additional charge. So find your bright spot this season. Get the help that you need during this tough time with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/skinnydipping today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/skinnydipping. Go to therapy. It'll change your life. It changed my life. And everything's going to be linked below. Let's get back to the episode.
So that's how I made the website. And I think that mission resonates with a lot of people. So throughout the years, I've reached 2 million users, which is insane to think about.
You should be so proud of yourself.
I am really proud of myself. I've been tracking it since I made it in 2020. And I didn't really even think about how crazy that was until one of my friends who actually works in the industry told me, she's like, there are companies that have millions of dollar evaluations that don't have a user base even a fraction of the size that you've garnered. And I'm just like, I think that that was like one of my most impressive projects, especially as I was gearing towards graduation. And I just love to share my story because I want to make sure that this is an accessible sort of path that people can follow. Like everyone should know that you can learn and acquire these skills regardless of the stereotypes of who you think should be someone who's in computer science and coding. And you can do exactly what I did. It's not that hard. It takes a long time, but it's not that hard.
And also commitment.
And commitment. Like, you have to care.
You have to care.
But people think that it's like impossible to do, and it's not.
So far out of reach. But you're like, it is possible if that's something you are called to. And also, especially when you get to create something that gets to help other people. I think so many people listening are going to relate to that a lot.
So I think that because of those things that we just kind of noted, a lot of recruiters really were inspired by like my passion to like, if I have an idea, I am able to build it. Mm-hmm. And whatever I build is something that's going to be easy enough and enticing enough for lots of people to use. Mm. And I think that those skills are things that like made recruiters sort of ding, ding, ding in their heads and be like, oh, maybe
they're like,
she'd
who
be
is
someone
she?
Good to hire. And I'm like, I see your vision.
I mean, obviously, like it's like, duh.
I'm like, okay, I understand where you're going with this, but if anyone were to scroll back to my TikTok videos like freshman sophomore year, I've always said that I was never gonna work in big tech. I went to school in a predominantly white community, went to a PWI institution. I'm like a minority in so many ways. And then I pursue engineering, so it's like
even more so.
Even more. Like, I deserve a break from what comes with being a minority in certain spaces. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you deserve better. You deserve somewhere that you are like deeply valued.
Yes. 22 years of a certain kind of experience that like majorly sucked. And I was like, I am not gonna do that to myself post-grad. Something that like comes to mind when I think of big tech work culture is the stories that came out of Tesla about the horrible things that were being told to Black engineers and Black people working in the different Tesla like workplaces. And this is just one story, and it's like a very extreme case. I want to say extreme, but I've been in these spaces. I know that I can be that bad.
It's extreme, but it's reality.
But it's reality, exactly. Yeah. So it's like these people being called slurs, being called all of these different things.
In their workplace.
In reference to slavery and all of these different things. And it's like, why would I want to do that to myself? And a lot of people have the argument of like, don't you want to be the person that changes the culture? And it's like, I've done so much emotional labor in my life, in my career. I don't have to change it through that avenue. You know what I mean?
Or like also in a way that's like helping them at all. Like helping those companies.
Exactly.
It's like you want to like bring companies to light. Oh, I'm getting chills right now. Bringing companies to light that have been on the right path and that would never do something like that. Not supporting companies that are like, oh, well, now that it's in, we want to change.
Exactly. Because it's like at the end of the day, like you're contributing to like the continued economic success of this company. And sure, you might be slowly but surely changing the culture within if you are powerful enough to do that. But you're also like at the place that it is now, stepping in and supporting them from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that's just not something that I wanted to do. That it's I felt
not your
like
job.
It was my exactly. And I talk about this too a lot online. Like, it's such a privilege to be able to make that decision financially. Because my current job, I work at a nonprofit. It's like I take a significant pay cut doing that, but I am okay doing that. Like, I'm gonna be fine. But it's like I see the privilege in being able to make that choice. It's like there's so many minorities that don't have the privilege to make that choice, and one of the few ways or a fast way to reach that economic agency is having to live through those experiences. And I think that's horrible. Yeah. I think that that's so awful and kind of shows just another way that society is like so cynical, because it's like in order for you as a minority to have success and reach economic mobility, which you have not been able to reach in previous generations because of societal structures that change you to a certain economic class, you have to go through emotional torment. Like, it's like
emotional abuse.
Exactly.
Like it's abusive.
We can no longer keep you from economic opportunities strictly through racism, but we can use racism as a tool to still make you miserable. And I think that's so horrible.
It's so fucked up.
So I was like,
it wasn't even in the fucking cards for you. You're like, no. So you got offered and you're like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
When you were getting offered potential positions, like, did you even see what that pay would even look like?
No. I couldn't do that to myself.
Yeah.
No.
So tell us about the company that you work for, and is it fulfilling for you?
Yeah.
And how did that come about?
It's winter, so that means it's time to get very sexy. Okay, picture this. You're hanging out in your favorite private spot in your backyard. Your headphones are on, and the world around you begins to fade away. When listening to Dipsy stories, you're immersed in a vivid world where every touch, every breath, every stolen glance is felt with breathtaking intensity, and it is hot, and it is sexy, and it is steamy. And I feel like for me to get turned on, I need to be mentally stimulated, and that's what Dipsy Stories does for me. So basically, Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women, and there's new content released every single week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. They also have soothing sleep stories, wellness sessions, and sexy written stories for you to read. And just let Dipsy be your go-to place to just spice things up with your me time, or maybe explore your fantasies, just get hot and bothered, relax and unwind, or even heat up things with a partner. And I'm going to give you guys a 30-day free trial. And even if you like don't want to continue it, just try it out. Because Dipsy is honestly, I'm kind of obsessed. I'm sorry. I really am. It's really sexy. And I just love it. Like my Scorpio rising, my Scorpio Mars is like, that's hot. So Dipsy is going to offer Skinny Dipping listeners an extended 30-day free trial for a limited time when you go to dipsystories.com/skinnydipping. That's 30 days full of access for free. We love free things. When you go to D-I-P-S-E-A, dipsystories.com/skinnydipping. dipsystories.com/skinnydipping. It's also going to be linked below. Try your free trial now.
So I work at a nonprofit that offers programming to gender minorities and mostly young women opportunities to learn about computer science, 13 to 18 years old. So really in that young adult area. Yeah.
That's amazing.
The idea is really to try to intervene before, you know, young people reach the point where they already have it dispelled in their mind that they can even pursue a career like computer science. Mm-hmm. And so something that's really awesome in particular about my job is that we work with companies to help with the hiring process. So the idea is that we can give them really qualified, diverse candidates for really early career opportunities like internships and apprenticeships, stuff like that, so that they have no excuse to say that the pool is not diverse.
Yes.
And that the people that they have to pick from is not diverse. We're being like, here.
You're doing the same thing again. I'm seeing this like theme of like, you're like, I'm making it so easy for you. Just fucking make the right decision.
Like, there's like no reason to be like, no, because.
Is that the excuse that they'll use? It's like, the pool isn't diverse, so our team isn't diverse.
Yeah. So a lot of it is that. It's kind of accurate, but there are becoming less and less reasons for that to be an excuse.
Yes, totally. And also, the only reason I feel like that would be accurate is because people feel like they can't be in those spaces
right.
in the first place. It's not that they don't want to be there. They just feel like they
exactly.
can't.
Exactly, yes.
You know? Yeah.
It's also so many different issues because kind of going back to the culture thing and how I try to fix that in my work life is like, a lot of the problem is the higher ups. It's like, okay, so we can kind of see how it's diverse lower down in the chain, but as we go higher and higher in the company sort of hierarchy, it gets wider and more male. Mm-hmm. And a huge reason for this is because a crazy number, like over 50% of women drop out of working in these fields within X number of their early years in the career because of the culture. And it's like, okay, so how can we change that? It's kind of like the egg and the chicken. It's like these higher ups are creating
first?
This bad culture, but it's like, these women can't stay in the field long enough to become the higher ups because the culture is so bad.
Yeah.
So it's like
the culture being like sexualization.
Yeah.
Misogyny. Yeah. A lot of it like being sexualized.
Well, yeah. Like another statistic is like over 50% of women experience sexual harassment. Mm. And I'm sure that's true actually across all fields in every workplace. But that's a number specific to women in engineering. It's like it's a coin toss whether or not you'll be sexually harassed in your fields, and
50%.
That's ridiculous. So it's like we are trying to diversify the pool of people who are introduced to the field and decide to pursue it later, but we're also trying to replicate what a good, healthy, diverse, and equitable workplace can look like.
It's be like, the example.
Yeah, we are modeling that for other companies to say, hey, this is possible. By modeling that not only to other companies, but to the kids we are directly serving, we are giving these kids agency to say, hey, I know what a proper and equitable workplace can look like, and that's what I'm going to demand from my employers. You know what I mean?
At a young age, because when it creates that standard, it will eventually create the reality because they won't be able to accept anything
well,
less.
Well, we already kind of see that with Gen Z across all fields.
Yeah.
Like, we are demanding things within the field of, like, sustainability, mental health. It's like, no, we care about like what our expectations are in the workplace. And like, we are the ones shifting that culture. Mm-hmm. So the more that we give these younger and younger generations the agency to say, hey, this is what I expect and this is what's unacceptable, the more that we'll see these cultures kind of shift. Because at the end of the day, we are the laborers. Mm-hmm. We are the ones who create for these big billionaire CEOs.
Like, they would be nothing without the people that produce for them. But then it just comes back to like,
exactly,
what we're talking about.
No, exactly. So it's like, we are going to have to stand up and demand changes. And that's what's going to shift workplace culture, because we do have the power. These CEOs think that they have the power. It's not them. It's us.
Yes. Because like, what would they be able to do without?
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And is that what like you guys teach, or like give somebody one takeaway right now that you're like, this is something that could shift your mindset around this? What would that be?
Yeah, absolutely. We just teach these young people that what they have to say is important. Through many different things. Like, the biggest reason why I was able to even make my website PV Resources is that I learned how to code websites and learned web development going through that program. And so much of the program highlights social good in tandem with technology, but not just social good, but any of your passions. So it's like, you can create anything that comes to mind. And I think that's also a big part of why a lot of people aren't interested in computer science. It's like, they think that it's only like numbers and math and kind of lame.
But it's creation.
But it's creative.
I really never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So this is a big mindset shift for me. Yeah. I'm like, wow. It's so true. You can create anything you want.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's really actually helpful for everyone to understand or take a class or know a little bit about computer science, because at the end of the day, it's really just problem solving. And yes, some of that problem solving is done with math, but a lot of it is like logic. Like, a fundamental computer science class is like logic and problem solving. And that's just such an important way to shift like the way that you look at things. And that's the reason why I'm able to make websites that so many people are and feel like they can engage with. It's because I'm thinking like, hey, here's a problem. And like, what's the most efficient way to get at a solution?
Wow.
And that's what computer science is.
Wow. Wait, I literally love that, because it is so creative. Like, it's like almost like an art form. And through that, you're able to encompass like all the things that you love and that you're passionate about. Like, you can create literally anything from that. And like, that's what you've done. Like, you should be so proud of yourself, dude. Like, also, what I love about you, because I love, like, I do this, like, with my friends. I'll be like, we should say what we love about each other. Because I feel like people just, like, forget to do that and, like, acknowledge, like, wow, you're so cool. Like, you're so cool that you're doing such cool things. The thing that I love about you is that you advocate for everything you're passionate about, and you speak up about it, and you're not going to pigeonhole yourself into, you know, just being like, okay, well, I just need to like niche myself down or be this one thing. You're like, I have all these things that make me, and I'm going to also not just be those things, I'm going to advocate for those things. And I love that you're also inspiring young people through your job now, which is so amazing, to also follow in those footsteps of knowing that their voice matters. And I feel like that's something that, you know, people our age also are just like deeply struggling with. So to get that mindset in, that shift in at a younger age, is going to be so impactful for all of our futures.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that even being a conversation or being something we talked about in school when we were younger, is like empowering our voices, making sure that we can speak up and be heard. It was actually the opposite. It's like, we'll fit in line, like go stand in line.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
So like, what's your advice to people who are also passionate about many things in their life and want to advocate for them, but maybe they feel scared, they feel fearful, maybe they just like don't know if like their voice matters, or like they feel held back when it comes to speaking up? What is your advice? Like, have you just always been somebody who's very vocal, or is this something you've come into?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, for starters, I think like a big reason why I advocate for everything I care about and not just kind of pigeonholing myself to one thing is like, I've always thought about it like this. Like, I'm an entire person. Me being gay is tied to me being Black. Me being Black is tied to me being a woman. All of these things
it's
are
so
tied
intersectional
to exactly my existence in any space that I come into. So I'm like, I can't ever really leave a part of myself out, one. And two, I also just like at some point found it empowering to talk about things I was scared to talk about, you know? That's part of how we even normalize these things. There's a reason why I was scared.
Course,
and talking about that is part of how I can deconstruct that fear for someone else.
Wow, totally. And also create more confidence within yourself, I think, too. And I always talk about bravery as being scared and doing it anyway, especially like being on the internet. I'm sure, like, I don't know if you get this question a lot, but I get the question of like, how do you even like put yourself out there, like, or say how you feel? That's so scary. And it's just like, it's not that I'm not scared. I've like learned how to surf in like the last couple years. Like, that was my COVID project, and I like was so scared, like, of the ocean, of the waves. Like, I was so scared. Or I've been really working on like safe cliff jumping and things like that, saying safe, because I'm very careful and I let somebody else jump first. Yes. That knows what they're doing.
Fair.
But things in those moments, even physically, it's like I'm like scared to do those things, but bravery is just doing it anyway. And then afterwards, it feels good. It feels good to catch the wave. It feels good to jump off the cliff. It feels powerful. It feels empowering. Absolutely. And it's the same thing with speaking and saying something that you're afraid to say. Is like, oh, you're still scared, but you just do it anyway. And when you do it anyway and you have that bravery, then you find more confidence. And then you realize it feels good.
Yeah,
do you feel
totally.
Like that feeling of knowing that you're helping others and that it also feels good to say how you feel? That's what keeps you coming back to continuing to speak up? Or
yeah. I mean, I just have been empowered by my previous experiences so much so that it's so easy for me to speak up and continue to keep speaking up. When I was younger, I obviously still had all of the same identity markers as I do now. And I had to experience horrible things then. And like, for my own safety and my own self-preservation, I had to speak up. Like, from such a little age, like, had to deal with like racism in the form of like death threats. That's as horrifying as
a child.
As a child. And it's like, you know, having to go to the police station and show them a message that I got, and trying to get people to understand that racism is a real threat, a real violent physical threat, as a child to adults. That's the scariest dynamic I've ever had to experience my entire life.
Scary.
Ugh, I get weird hate comments all the time, and like, people are weird and rude and gross and disgusting, and racism and misogyny and all of that stuff still comes into fruition in my life to this day. I don't have that fear. I had to go through the scariest bit of it when I was a child. It's like anything that I could experience.
Like, how old is a child also, if you don't mind me asking?
Like, probably like nine.
A child.
Like, it's like I'm barely conscious. Like, I'm just coming into like my self-consciousness, like just barely understanding what it means to be a girl and what it means to be Black. And it's like you are faced with the scariest things a person can be faced with.
So it was like out of necessity.
Exactly. I think a lot of Black kids specifically have to get over that fear really quick, or you literally cannot survive. It's so scary, the things that you go through. And if you don't just get over it and advocate for yourself, which sucks that I even have to say that and that anyone has to go through that, you will be like crippled by the fear that is created by this society. Being so frank, I don't even think that anyone is frank enough about that. Like, that fear is crazy. So it's like, as an 8-9-year-old, 10-year-old, I already had to get over that. I'm almost fearless at this age and to this day, because I'm like, I already did it when I was a child.
Yeah, like, you didn't have a choice.
Exactly.
Like, there was no choice.
For that, I'm like, it's sad and it's horrible that anyone has to go through that. But it's like almost a testament, once again, to like how strong and powerful and how capable of overcoming kids like me are, you know what I mean? It's like, sure, I can
have
pity on myself, but it's also like sometimes I'll want to sit back and be like, dang, like, that sucked, that was awful that I had to go through that. And that's true. And I'm so powerful because of it. Like, I'm so confident and courageous because of it. And that is so cool. Like, I am so into that. I'm like, that is a horrible thing that we have to go through, but I think it's uniquely special that it can make us better. It can make us better advocates for ourselves and our communities and the people around us that exist within our communities, but also outside of our communities. I think that's why Black women specifically have been at the forefront of so many social justice movements. Because
throughout history,
no matter who the group is, advocating for absolutely everyone, because we are so emboldened and empowered by our own experiences. And I think that's so uniquely special to us. So that's like the silver lining.
No, I love that. Do you feel like that's why you do what you do now?
Yeah, I think that like it makes me uniquely good at what I do. But I would hope that I'd
makes
still
you
be
really
this person.
Good at what you're really good at what you do.
Thank
you.
You are. Thanks.
And like also just the way that you see the world, like it's just brilliant, truly.
Thank you.
I'm serious. Like, I don't know. I feel like I just am getting so many chills right now with everything you're saying.
Thank you.
How does it make you feel? How do you feel right now? Like reflecting on everything that you're talking about.
I just like can never just not have that drive to like keep doing more to make the world better. I'm just like, the more that I reflect on the way things are unfair and unequitable, I'm like, but I gotta keep moving. I gotta keep
not getting stuck.
Yeah, and moments like this are beautiful because we need to reflect. If we don't reflect, we can't move forward because we don't know what we've done. And that's so important. But it's like, you have to use that as fuel. You have to use that as passion to, even if I can't make it better for myself in my lifetime, I need to make it better for someone else, even if it's just a little bit. And that like means something to me.
And I feel like that's such like a common theme throughout our generation too, where it's like that balance between knowing that systemically things are fucked up and like feeling that hopelessness, but needing to transmute that into action and passion, like you were just saying. I feel like people can get stuck in the hopelessness, you know? So like, how can you transmute that and transform that into action and passion and being like, no, like we need to make the world a better place for future generations, even if you don't even get to experience it. Like that's so beautiful and selfless, truly.
Well, I think that's something that I think a lot of people are feeling around climate change, actually, specifically.
That's
so massive. I think that's like the overarching feeling that everyone says when they think of climate change. It's like, it's too big of a problem. I can't do anything about it.
I feel hopeless. Totally. And I get that in my DMs all the time because I also just deeply care about like the environment and environmental advocacy and asking me like, well, like, how do we like take action? Because it feels like so big.
Difficult. Yeah.
Like it feels like hopeless, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like feels overwhelming.
Absolutely. There's this TikTok that I saw from, I don't know who it was, but I love what this person said about climate change that I think can really resonate with so many issues. Mm-hmm. And this is what they said. They were like, I understand that we see a lot of these scary headlines, like we are past X point of no return, like we are going to continue heating the earth by X amount of degrees every year. But here's the thing. We can get really scared and helpless about those things because we feel like there's nothing that we can do and then decide, hey, I'm throwing in the towel and not do anything. Or we can decide, instead of maybe the trajectory we're currently on, that we're going to warm the earth by X number of degrees in the next year, instead of doing the number that we think we're on track to do now, what if we all band together to try to work harder and get a little better at our sustainable practices? Mm-hmm. So maybe instead of warming the earth 3 degrees, we do it 1.5.
Yeah. And that makes a huge difference.
And that makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like we have these big issues and sure, we are on the trajectory to make them worse in the matters of climate change specifically. But it's like if we have this hopelessness and this idea that there's nothing we can do about it, we can't make things at least a little better. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we're going to go in full fruition of the worst possible situation that we're going to have if we don't all decide, hey, maybe we can't resolve this, but what if we just made it a little better?
Yeah, I think people need to understand just because you can't necessarily fix entirely a problem doesn't mean that you can't make it better still. Like,
exactly.
And even 1% better is better than -1% better or 1% worse.
That's exactly how I've always felt about all of my advocacy. And the reason why it's so overarching and just such a strong passion of mine is because I know that I have the capability to make it a little bit better. And that's the same with like sustainable practices and stuff like that. Like the reason why that's important to me because I care about climate change. So I'm going to do what I can do to make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Maybe I can't do everything. Maybe I can't be, you know, vegan and have no plastic consumption and X, Y, and Z. Maybe I can't not travel on a plane, but it's like I could vow not to buy any new clothing.
Yeah.
Like, that's easy.
Yeah, so what are your, like, things that you personally do?
I do not buy any new clothes, period.
Period.
Like, first-time wear.
Yeah.
I sometimes get new things gifted to me, but I vowed to not spend any of my dollars buying new clothes.
Yes, because your dollar, that counts. Like, where you put your money shows what you value.
Exactly. So I do not spend money on new clothes. for the rare exception of like, you gotta buy your basics sometimes. So like once a year, I'm like white tank top, you know, okay, whatever. Yes. But throughout the rest of the year, don't buy any new clothes. If I want something or I see a trend, I go on Depop or eBay and I find it.
And it's literally so easy. It's like easy. I'm just such a Depop girly. Like I'm just
find the name of the thing.
Yes.
Put it in Depop. You're gonna find it.
Yes, literally. It's actually so easy. Like I'll just go on Pinterest. I'll look like what's the actual name of this product, right. And I'll just copy paste.
Exactly.
And then you can find it.
You're either gonna find the same thing or something so similar that it doesn't know.
It doesn't even matter. Exactly. And there's just so many clothes out there already. Like circulating around the world. It's just like there's so much to choose from.
You'll find something. I promise you, if you just search for it, you'll find it. Sometimes it takes some work. But also I'm just like, why wouldn't you want to do that? Because oftentimes you can find like such cooler and more unique pieces.
I agree. No,
like that's old and
it's yours. It also just I feel like personally, from an energetic perspective, too, I just believe everything carries certain energies. So, like, when something is created in a way that is unethical, that is the energy that that clothing is wearing. And then I'm putting that on my sacred body. Like, no fucking thank you. Yeah. Like, I want something that has a character and life story. And, like, Absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna, like, put some incense on it and, like, clear it out energetically. Like, if I'm feeling that, it's, like, had a rough story behind it. But, and it also just, like, makes me feel good. Like, I won't say, like, I never buy new things, but also, I really don't. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, I never really buy new things. Like, Depop literally changed my life because I got overwhelmed by thrifting. My ADHD mind like gets really overstimulated.
Dude, that's so fair.
And I would like go to stores and I'd be like, this is so scary. I can't find anything. And now my head hurts. And now like my eyes are like looking at everything. And I just feel like I'm taking in way too much information. Like that's how I would feel.
Absolutely.
Like now I go in with my headphones and like if I go somewhere that's like decently organized and I can figure it out. But I'm like Depop and you were saying eBay and Etsy too, right? Like there's so many different ways for us.
Like so many different apps. Like it's crazy.
And
like
it's so much more affordable too. So it's like a win-win on all aspects.
Absolutely. And you're supporting like people
instead
of like massive companies. Like from a standpoint of me advocating for everything, I'm like, I like this so much better. Like I know who I'm buying from. I know what I'm getting. I'm not buying anything new. I'm supporting a person that is living, breathing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an all around win. Like, and it's such an easy way to switch out unethical fashion for sustainable fashion. It's just like buy secondhand.
Yeah.
Just buy secondhand. Like I think people are like, oh, well, I'm going to like spend so much money to get this like sustainable piece from this company, which like that's great, but like not doable for everybody. So
Absolutely. Buy
secondhand. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an easy switch.
And I also like, think it's so even sometimes with like the decision to buy more sustainable pieces from X, Y, and Z brand that is a little bit more expensive, I'm like, it does push us to be more considerate about what we're spending our money on.
Mm.
And it does help us curb a little bit at least overconsumption.
Yes.
So if you're buying this more expensive sustainable piece, maybe you're not going to buy 7 tops from Shein. So maybe you're going to buy something that you're going to wear over and over and over again. Exactly. Instead of like these cheap stuff that's going to sit in your closet and like we're over consuming, you know? Culture has a huge problem with that in general and why I push so hard for people to thrift and find these unique and cool pieces that you can wear over and over and over again and not get sick of. Mm-hmm. It's because we are buying too much stuff, period.
Honestly, I can't believe like anybody still buys from Shein. If I have like one flex, it's that I've never even looked at the website.
When I see like the people on TikTok still that do like the massive Shein hauls, I feel like bewildered.
No, it blows my mind.
Like, some people don't know how bad it is, or some people are not fully informed. But I mean, I feel like
how can you not be fully informed? Yeah, it's like all out there on the internet. It's like people are literally like being like abused and in like abusive situations.
Right.
Like I just don't even understand how somebody could feel okay buying like a $2 top, knowing that like a child had to suffer. Like I literally don't get it. Like it actually blows my mind.
Yeah,
and I've had to talk to friends too and be like, do you understand? Yeah. And like my friends that I have talked to, like as soon as I've told them once, like I don't know if they've never bought from them again, but I've never seen them wearing it again. Or maybe they just didn't tell me. I don't know. But it's like, I don't even want to surround myself personally with people that wouldn't also believe that.
Also, like part of it is just like showing people that there are other alternatives that are easy. Like, I understand a huge draw to fast fashion companies and websites and stuff like that is because of its affordable price point. But I'm like, thrift.
Yeah, it's affordable.
It's affordable. I don't think that's like super an excuse or just like.
Yeah, it's not.
I love to just be like, here, let me offer up this alternative that I know will work for you. Like, I've had friends of mine come up to me and they are like, I know that you talk a lot about sustainable fashion. I personally shop at fast fashion. Can you please help me with an alternative that works in my budget, something that I find cute, stuff like that? And I will sit with them and I will be like, hey, shop here. This is a more sustainable alternative. Here's when they're having a sale. You should come with me here. Let's work together. So I think a part of it is that community.
Yes.
And a responsibility that we have as people that want to be advocates and give people the resources to fight the fight of sustainability and climate change to extend that olive branch to be like, you know what? I'm here to help you. And I can show you what I did to make myself more informed and to shift my, you know, habits and practices.
No, I love that. And also just being like, okay, like, that's cool. You are coming to me. Like, that's cool that you want to shift this in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which I feel like is just so important and within community, within friendships, just making sure that we're all holding each other accountable is so key, because I've been thinking a lot about like community and how we underestimate community and how important it is, just especially in our current society that is so individualistic. And I think one of those things that comes with community is knowing that you will have people to kindly call you out.
Absolutely.
It's needed. And like, I need it sometimes too. Like,
yeah.
I need those people in my life holding me accountable. Absolutely. And it's just like, it all connects. So tell us about what you have coming out very soon and a new project you're working
on. Okay. So
I'm so excited.
Something that led me to this amongst, you know, my discovery of sustainable fashion and looking for better alternatives for clothes in the realm of sustainability was also tech waste is a huge issue. And something that actually is a unique issue within climate change that I think I've been aware of since I was younger. Like, have you ever had like an old piece of technology or something and like the way you have to recycle it is so specific, like you can't just throw it out?
Yeah, electronics just don't really break down, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it's a little bit dangerous and things have to be discarded in a certain way. And a part of just like my sustainable fashion career and my sustainable fashion interest was like, okay, well, this other thing in tandem with clothes creates a lot of waste, but we haven't been so, as a society, innovative on how we can recycle, reuse, you know, make tech more secular. It's kind of just like, after we no longer can use it, we throw it away.
Yeah. And so I feel like I haven't even thought about this. So this is such an eye-opener moment. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, this is good.
I mean,
good.
Yeah, because there's so many different kinds of waste other than clothes. Clothes is just like a huge amount of the waste that we create. But there are other kinds of waste. And I was like, I'm surrounded by technology all the time, constantly, especially while I was in school. So this project actually started as my senior project.
Okay.
In college. And I was just like, okay, what can we do about tech waste?
Mm.
But also, I'm interested in sustainable fashion, but also I'm interested in advocacy of all the different other kinds. So how am I going to integrate all of these different things? It was super ambitious when I first came up with the idea, and a whole part of our sort of senior project track is having an advisor that basically tries to reel you in and be like, okay, like, how can we make this project come into fruition?
Okay.
And I sort of told him all my ideas. I basically came into class and I was like, so basically I want to come up with a sustainable fashion line that repurposes tech but also creates boutique wearable tech in a way that we haven't seen within the fashion industry much at all.
I'm just getting such oh my gosh, like,
and then
wow.
I was also like, in addition, I want to create streetwear feminine baby tees that poke fun about the stereotypes about women in STEM.
So that's so genius. That's so genius.
All of these things at
that's
the same
so good.
Time. And he was like, I don't think you can probably do all those things at once. And I was like, watch me. So I did exactly that.
Wow. Of course you did. No doubt in my mind.
So I came up with my company. It's called Software by Lex. And basically we just have three prongs to it. Wearable technology, and I kind of made it in like a tongue-in-cheek way because it's physically a technology that is upcycled and you can wear.
Wow.
And then this whole sector of fashion is called wearable technology, where you have these little microcontrollers in your clothes that do different things. And the way that we see it currently a lot is in concerts. So think Katy Perry and like those things on her boobs that like spin. Yes. Or like artists that wear like LED panels that say different things or do different things. So that's like our current rendition of wearable technology and like the most popular form for it. But I was like, how can I integrate that with street style? Oh. All of my clothing is essentially street style. So starting with the physically wearable tech, so the section of the project that was how can we recycle technology? Mm-hmm. I take a whole bunch of different old recycled tech pieces that have been given to me and make clothing out of it. So I had like a floppy disk skirt, like think very like Harper Finkel from Wizards of Waverly Place, where she takes like all of these objects and makes clothes. But floppy disk skirts, I made this really cool mouse bra that everyone was obsessed with when we shot it, and I made a keyboard skirt, so taking all of these little keys from old recycled keyboards and making them into this really cool mini skirt.
Are you like physically making these yourself?
Yes.
You're not like going to someone and being like, this is what I want.
Nope.
You're like doing this with your hands.
I taught myself. I made everything myself. And it's truly really wearable. So that the idea is that in the near future, I can rent out and loan to magazines for editorial pieces, artists, stuff like that.
Because they're such one-of-a-kind pieces.
They're so awesome, if I do say so myself.
That's so cool.
So that's the wearable tech side of the technology and clothing intersection. So the whole idea of the entire first collection was really diving into the experiences of young women in STEM. So a lot of those pieces that I just described, like the floppy disk skirt, for example, on the little section that would have been used to describe what is on the disk, like it literally has two lines and a piece of paper on every floppy disk that were sold back in the day so people could like label them.
Okay.
I wrote statistics about the adversities that women in STEM face.
Wow.
So that's something that was on these pieces.
That's so fucking cool.
And moving into the wearable technology, the first piece that I made was this jacket that has a little LED panel in the back, kind of like a stop sign. Okay. And the jacket says in a hand-painted lettering, don't come too close. And it has thermal handprints all on the jacket.
Oh, wow.
Kind of representing that 50% of women that get sexually assaulted during their course of, you know, exploring the engineering field.
Yeah.
And it has a little motion sensor in the jacket. So once you get to it a specific distance from the jacket, the LED panel goes from being off to turning bright red, which is really fun.
Wow, that's so powerful. Like, you didn't have to explain that to me. I got the message right away. Like, as soon as you were like, the handprints, I was like, damn, it's the statistic. Like, and that's so amazing, like, that it literally speaks for itself also, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just a bunch of different pieces that do things like that.
Okay, and what about the baby tees?
And then, okay, so the baby tees were really fun to make. They're basically tees with little tongue-in-cheek slogans. That's really popular in streetwear culture right now. And I was like, how do I make this twist on, like, the baby tee, but for women in STEM specifically, since that's my focus of this first collection? And so I made a bunch of different tees. One, I wanted to make sure that it was very girly. So I took these tees and added, like, frills all on them.
Oh,
so they were super feminine. And I wanted outright to be like, no, this is going to be about engineering, but it's also going to be, like, completely me, which is girly and feminine and cutesy. So that was my first step. But then I also came up with the little slogans that were on the t-shirts. One is, this is what an engineer looks like. And I just took pictures with all of my friends who are girly and just frilly and cute, just like me, wearing these tees. So just, like, the mixture of that visual, being like, hey, this is how I'm changing what the face of engineering looks like, was so important to me.
Wow.
And then I added, like, femme in STEM, so, like, feminine queer woman in STEM. Like, everyone loves that, and
that's
it's a cutesy one. But I have one that I haven't released yet, or I haven't shown any visuals of yet, but we're gonna do Hot Girls Code. So I just love
Hot Girls Do Code.
Hot Girls Do Code. So I'm just like,
is this something that eventually people will get to
so buy? In this very moment, the pre-order form is out, so
you hear that, guys.
That's so, go sign up. But, like, a huge part of the whole mission is sustainability. So it's like, I want to be very careful in knowing exactly how many people would be interested so that I can get exactly that amount of product.
Yeah.
So it's been like a slow but steady process, but coming soon.
That is
like
amazing.
I'm so excited for real people to like have them and wear them
and see
just,
people like tagging you and wearing them. It's gonna be so good.
I mean,
congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Amazing.
Like going from like explaining the project as like just like a college thing to like my teacher being like, oh, maybe you can't do all of this stuff, to like one, actually I ended up winning like the best project in my department at my school for this project. So I'm like going from even my teacher being like no to him submitting me to be like, you were the best one, was awesome. But like,
it's amazing
seeing that go from all of that stuff to being real is really cool. A little scary, but I'm like, this is so like cool and shows just like you're really capable of anything. Like if you just decide to do something and do it, like no one's stopping you. And like this is one of the first things that's like shown me that like I have the power to truly create and bring into fruition whatever I want.
Wow. No, I love that. And I love seeing when people combine all aspects of themselves, because I feel like that's where we find our own true unique purpose is in that combination. Mm-hmm. So that's so cool. Pre-order form is out now. So, I'm like, I'm not an engineer. I really want the one that's like, this is what engineers look like. Because I think that's just so hot.
No, but also, like, the thing is, like, it doesn't even matter if you're an engineer or not. Like, the whole idea, it's almost like a social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is that you could be.
Exactly.
Like, it's us deciding, we're taking the mic from, you know, this stereotypical picture of what it means to be an engineer and being like, no, I could be one.
Literally,
you know, and that's what like half of the
reason
it's
a movement,
why
baby.
I just used my friends for like the campaign photos. None of them were like really engineers, but I'm like, this is
they
what
could
the
be.
Face should be. Like, we should see more imagery of women of all kinds representing this thing. So I think everyone should get one.
I'm definitely going to
support the cause.
No, and like be part of that new messaging.
Absolutely.
I'm obsessed. Amazing. So where can everyone find you? Where can they find this? Everything also is going to be linked below.
Yes.
But of course, where can they find you on all the things?
Well, the main place is my Instagram at AlexisDeniseW. That will give you links to all of my other places, but Software by Lex, PB Resources, all of those places are where you can find me in the work that I'm doing.
And it's all going to be linked below. So like, we make it easy for you, baby.
Super easy.
You don't even have a choice.
Yes.
No, but I'm sure everyone has fallen in love with you. Oh. Like truly, like I am in awe, and I love seeing you also create this new line and this new concept and this physical product, because I do see that being a big part of where you're going in your career for sure.
Really
do you
excited.
Feel that like
I'm
that
excited.
Little like glimpse of like I can see myself like doing this
for sure. I'm definitely just like can't wait to see what the future holds, and like all of the young women out there, like anyone who's creative and passionate about something, like the potential is limitless. So like just jump on your opportunity, jump on that idea, that thing you want to make, and just go for it. Like,
create
you
it.
Never know where you'll end up.
Thank you, Alexis.
Of course. This was so fun.
Warmer, sunnier days are calling, so fuel up with them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. If you are like me, sometimes you can forget to feed yourself when you're super busy, and that's why I love Factor. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious and great tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore, and you can have as little or as much as you want every single week. And if this interests you at all, I'm going to give you guys 50% off only for Skinny Dipping listeners. So head to factormeals.com/skinny50 and use code skinny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. Win-win. That's code skinny50 at factormeals.com/skinny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Go check it out. It'll make your life so effortless and nutritious.
As the weather is getting warmer, it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I've wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul, and I don't want to spend a fortune. I'm constantly wearing the 100% washable silk slip dress, and people ask me all the time where I got it from. I've also now got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking on trend year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Kintz only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which you know is so important to me when it comes to clothing brands. Get warm weather ready with Kintz. Go to kintz.com/skinnydipping for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's QUINCE.com/skinnydipping to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Kintz.com/skinnydipping.